call. You can find me MVIP, all eyes on me. Yeah, where the town's on. This is how your night should be. All eyes on me. All eyes on the prize, money supersize. G5, super fly, fly, should be supervised. Do or die, open up your eyes, head to the sky. Keep a mean bad mommy on the side. Make a tsunami, kamikaze on the mind. Spit flow, paparazzi, flash shine. Get dough, champagne, Merlot. Cash and tango, in the VIP. Now she wanna touch her ankle, get low. Mueve mami como el dembow. All eyes on me, peeping through the window. Get mine, get yours, believe it or not. In the meantime, I'ma keep my eyes on the top.
All eyes on me, drinks on me. Girls on me, on the dance floor. All eyes on me, who is he? Man, you better come get your girls out. All eyes on me, party like a rock star. You can find me in VIP. All eyes on me, yeah, where the girls are. This is how your night should be.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to a brand new episode and installment of the ME Show. I go by the name of Ali Madawi, your strategic partner, and I got a good one for you today. Let me just tell you, first and foremost, the gentleman that I have in the room and I go way, way back for about 8, going on 9 years right now. Not only that, let me even tell him something that he doesn't even know before I introduce him to you. He's the very first person to introduce me to a concept called foreign exchange. I used to be like, what the heck is FX? What the heck is FX? And I had him on an interview about 8 years ago, and he explained it to me, and it changed the way I see life and money forever. He is the head of trading for a company called Anala that is disrupting the space of trading, disrupting the space of home-based business, disrupting the space of e-commerce. And I have the privilege to have him on in here today. His core values are 100% aligned with mine. He is definitely somebody that is for the people, by the people, and knows when to speak in an intelligent, intellectual way about what is right and what is wrong, and he's not afraid of it. But today, not only we're going to be sharing his story, but we're going to get as many nuggets out of him. So many nuggets that Chick-fil-A is going to call us and say, hey, you got to stop because you guys popping and popping. So ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, the superstar on a debut interview on the ME Show, Abu Shiraki.
Qureshi.
Go ahead. I told him I was going to butcher it. I always do. So first and foremost, man, first and foremost, thank you so, so much for giving me the opportunity to have you in here. You took a ride up for us, and I don't take that lightly. Congratulations, I will say, on many initiatives that you have taken with many other individuals and many other companies whom have failed you because they built you for who you've become today. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah.
100%. All right. So before we dig into the business, tell us a little bit about your journey and how you've gotten to where you've gotten right now.
So, man, it's deep. I was thinking about that on the ride here. I mean, my journey is really deep. Like looking back at it, where I was born in a third world country, coming over here, like struggling, found entrepreneurship or network marketing when I was 18, 19, and struggled, found my mentors, kind of had that belief put in me and started building it from there. But then, you know, network marketing is the politics and the and this and that and, you know, the financial predators, right? I call them, seeing that, that kind of like broke my heart. And then just trying to like, hey, like I want to help people because I know how network marketing and forex changed my life, right? Like that self-belief, that personal development, you know, they often say network marketing is personal development with a compensation plan.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so like for me, that's all I wanted to do. Like, obviously I want to take care of my family, but I think a lot of people see that as a sign of like, oh, we can get him, right? Like, oh, like, you know, he can bring in people and it's like, oh, we can, you know, do this and do that and not actually help. So I ended up really, the last company we were with, that was like my last straw. Like that broke me and I was like, man, I can't do this anymore. Like I can't. And I tried really hard to get
it. It was the most promising too.
Yeah, it was, man. It was like, it literally felt like home and I was just like, oh, let's do this. And then seeing like the live trading rooms, I remember being on there. I don't know what happened. The guy was like, buy, sell, buy, sell, buy, sell, buy, sell in a matter of like 30 seconds. And I'm like, what? And then the end of it, he goes, if you were in the first buy, you're up like 300 pips. I'm like, why would somebody be in the first buy? You just told them to buy, sell, like what?
Made no sense from a practical standpoint.
Yeah. So as a trader, I'm like, this, I don't get it. So I was at that point, I'm like, I'm done. And then opened up my e-commerce business like 2 years ago and it was good. Alhamdulillah, I made a lot of money. This time last year, I was making like 30K per month, but like that fulfillment, right? It wasn't there. And I'm like, just making rich people richer. and I'm not actually helping people. Like that purpose part of things, it just, it wasn't there. And I wasn't happy. And then around like 8 months ago, one of my business partner, he was actually my first client, which is crazy.
In e-commerce?
In e-commerce. Oh, he was my first client. He was like, listen, I want to add a trading platform into a company that they already have. And I was like, okay, perfect. And what's crazy about Joel is that I found out like six months after we started working together that he was my mentor's mentor. Right. And here I am working with him. And like through that domino effect, I got my like push in network marketing. When I found out, I'm like, oh, do you know this individual? Like, he was like, yeah, he was the number two income earner in my company. I was like, what was your company? He said this name. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, you were the owner? And he was like, yeah, Syntech Global. I mean, I can say it.
Yep.
And I don't know if you've heard of the company.
I've never interacted or worked with the company, but I've heard the name. Yeah.
Yeah. So Joel was the CEO. And I'm like, this is crazy. And at that time, I was like, I know we're going to open up a company together.
It was just a matter of the what and how.
Yeah. So when he approached me 8 months ago, I was like, yeah, let's do it. Now we had someone else we were working with, and he caused a lot of trouble on the IT side. And I do want to give it off
the conversation that we talked about.
Yeah, he was just like, there's always something. I'm not going to lie. When you said that to me, I'm like, oh, don't say that, bro.
Let me give some context for those who are listening. So about, what was it, like a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago, right?
Yeah.
We're just kind of kicking it back and forth. You wanted some feedback and whatnot. And I was like, hey, just so you know, there's always something. So make sure you go through every single item because it always looks good until one person ruins it for everybody. And kind of that was where we left it off.
Yeah.
Then you hit me up like a week or 2 weeks after, like, bro, thank you so much. I'm like, I don't know what I did, but all right. It's like, you had a cancer. You kind of were holding on as much as possible with the idea that we need this person to get stuff done. Right. But then you took that leap of like, I'm just going to chop it off and have some faith that is going to work out. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So he was back in my first network marketing company. He was like one of my best friends, right? And he was doing the IT stuff for like our team. So I was like, man, there wouldn't be anyone else that I would want to start a company with, right? Yeah. Like be the head of IT. And it was him. He probably took like 70K in the last year, right? Just off of like doing this and like the servers, he was charging like $4,000 a month for servers, doing all this stuff. And it's like, fine, like, you know, like it's all good. Like we get the game. It's like, you can, you know, keep your commissions. It's all good. But the problem was work was never getting done. And it was always for like 8 months in a row, we're 99.99% done. So now, on the calls, whenever someone says 99%, I always laugh because I'm like, okay, like, you know, it's an inside joke. But like I left all my other businesses, everything.
Kind of went all in.
Yeah. I want to go all in because this is like, I felt as if I was being pushed into this by God because I knew the impact that I could have on others. And for me, that's more important, right? So I was like, screw the money. I'll go all into this. All right. Left my income, everything like that. And you're not making any money, right? So it's like, you're just waiting on him. And I was loyal to him, not because we needed him, but it was the fact of like, yo, they're like, you've been loyal to me. I'm going to take care of my people. But sooner or later, it was like, bro, like, what is going on? And then like, maybe like four months ago, we got into an argument where I was like, hey, I'm just venting to him. I was like, yo, bro, like, I'm hurt right now. Like I got to take care of my family, right? Like, I dropped everything for you to make sure you're good. Joel's good. Everyone's good, right?
Especially if you pulled 70K in his pocket.
Yeah, right. So it was like, you're the only person making money. And I didn't say that, but I was like, yo, I'm hurting right now. Like emotionally, like I'm hurt, right? Like my mom's like, get married. And I'm like, I can't. I don't have
for those of you who don't know where we come from, moms tend to do that. I mean, I got married at 22. Hint, wink, wink. Right? Yeah. It's like, hey, I need babies. Let's go. Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't have any money to take care of a family. Like, it can't work that way.
Yeah.
And the pressure, I want to take care of my family. And I was like, I was in a position again where I could just retire my dad, right? Yeah. But I was like, I left that for the sake of God to take care of other people, right? Yeah. To make a impact. So like trying to vent that to him, he took that personally. So we got on the call because we had a call later. And he's just yelling at me. Just yelling like, I didn't say anything. But like after that, I was like, that put a real bad taste in my mind. And I reached out to him. I was like, listen, I apologize if I said something wrong to you. I don't know what happened. He was like, oh, I thought you were trying to personally attack me. And I'm like, no, I was just trying to vent to you. You're my brother. I have known you for 8 years, right? And then that was around the time where we had that conversation. No, we had probably had that conversation like 2-3 weeks later. You're like, there's always something with you. There's always something with somebody. And I'm like, it sat in my heart. And then Joe and I just had like a heart to heart, and it was like, no, we got to let him go. Like, I care about this individual, but we got to let him go. Now, with that being said, I'm a big believer in everything happens for a reason, because Enola was just going to be a brand in another company.
Right.
Right. But now it's its own company and people love that.
So much better, to be honest with you.
So it's like, everything happens for a reason. So that horrible experience, because he forced Joel and everyone, like all of us, to create this as a separate company.
Which is the blessing in disguise.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, I'm not even mad, because the comp plan's better, the technology's better, the IT team we have is so much better. So I'm like, okay, it worked out, right? But it's like, now it's time to go. So we've been pre-launching for like the last 3 weeks. We're officially launching on the 22nd of sometime next month, or sorry, sometime next week, whenever. I think the 22nd is Tuesday or Monday. So we have some really big leaders in Africa and Dubai and the Middle East coming. So
this
in.
Is like breaking news that I'm doing.
Yeah, right. This is breaking news.
This is a big deal. Yeah. This is an ME exclusive, Rich. Yeah. We, you know, where's the confetti, Rich? Yeah, there you go. All right, cool. So talk to me about, you know, you and Joel kind of look eye to eye and say like, all right, we remove the restraining force, as we call it, where in my world. And then what was the decision of like, let's go and freaking do this? Like, you know, it would not right. from a practical business agreement sense, but you know, when you look at that one person, you're like, yeah, we're ready.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
I would say that there have been moments leading up to that, but I would say that really happened earlier this week or later. I think it was earlier this week or late last week, but it was like, had an amazing New York session, bro. Everyone's making money. People are staying on. And I'm just hanging out. And, you know, later in that day, something hit me. I'm like, bro, everyone made money on that call. Holy shit. Like, can I curse?
Yeah.
Cool. I was like,
shit.
Yeah. I was like, holy shit. Like, everyone made money. And at that time, I realized, like, we're impacting people in Pakistan, Africa, like China, like Mexico, like third world countries, where it's like, it might be only $100, but that goes a long way.
Back in the other side of the world. Yeah. And just for the record, past performances do not guarantee any future results. Yes. So whatever you hear here is based on what had happened. So it's important to put that context.
Yeah. Cause you're not going to win every trade. Like, you know, we win a lot of them, but not every trade.
You could tell I worked with a boo before. Huh?
Yeah. But, and that in my mind, it really something snapped where I'm like, yo, I'm coming for every single fucking thing, every single person who's ever screwed me over, laughed at me, every single bitch that broke my heart. I'm like, I am coming for everything. And from then on, it's been like, yo, let's go. And that's where it's like, and I think like that emotional energy really impacted Joel and Alton, because since then they've been talking to like some crazy leaders, right? I don't know them. I've met a few of them, but they're like, okay, this guy's a team of this much. This guy's a team of this much. These guys are doing this. These guys are doing this. So I think like that emotional energy just kind of impacted everyone. So
that was the moment.
Yeah. Like for me, at least it was like that. That's what it was, right? Because there was so much alignment. Manifestation started to make sense in my mind in terms of like my spiritual gifts or however you want to call it. So like everything connected at that day. It was like, oh, this is how you actually manifest. This is how you visualize. Like this is this, and this is what emotional energy is. This, you know what I mean? Like everything connected that day. And I was like, holy shit. Like this is what all those like Bob Proctors are talking about, Alex Morton, Jason Rounds. Like this is like that internal like visualization they're talking about. Use your emotional energy, and because emotion is energy in motion. I'm like, and that's when it like really clicked. So it's like, since then my manifestation's been a little bit different. Right. And it's like, I can see it. Right. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like this is it. Everything clicked.
We do live in a world where there are haters.
Yeah.
I see you. I know you're watching this on a replay and listening, but I see you. I know you out there. You're going to have that one hater who is going to be like, well, how is this any different than anything that we've done in the past?
Right.
And I can answer that by saying, well, in the past, someone else was in charge.
Yeah.
In here, you got your hands on the steering wheel.
Yep.
But from your own perspective, like, what gives you that confidence that I know this is going to work long term from whether sustainability, social responsibility, and then taking care of everybody as a whole? Like, there's no way that it's going to be a perfect experience.
Of course.
Brand new operation. Right. You're going to have trial and errors. You're going to have mistakes. You're going to have adjustments that you're going to have. That's part of the process. Right, and if anybody doesn't understand that, respectfully, you just don't understand business.
Yeah.
So talk to us from your own perspective. What's giving you the confidence that this is going to work and we're going to take it all the way?
I believe that Joel is really good at what he does.
Right.
Alton is really good at what he does. And I'm really good at what I do. And then we come together in our own ways to do what we need to do. So for me personally, from the trading aspect, even looking at third party verification, like, you know, sources, those can be manipulated. However, they need to be manipulated.
It's an interesting world.
In that space. Yeah. And I've come to see the BS and just cut it out, right? Especially from a trading standpoint. Like, there were some mentors of mine, people I really looked up to, that were going to be, you know, signal callers and doing this and doing that. And I told them, like, hey, we can't be that risky, right? They didn't listen. I was like, listen, you got to go. I'm sorry. We just can't do this. So just looking at that, and just from all my experiences and just over the last 8 years and learning from different individuals, I know what works. Like, one of the other traders that we have, his name is Hassan, and he lives in Saudi Arabia. He was actually on my team in a previous company, and I taught, like, I was his introduction to trading. And he's very technical, right? He's very technical, but he's really good at what he does. And he's very good at cutting the BS out in trading as well, right? Like, his psychology is like, listen, it's a business. It's you versus the people who are controlling the market. So you need to look at it that way, right? They're out there to make you lose money. So they're going to make it look like this. When they make it look like this, you need to do this, right? So that, I think, is really important. Just like knowing the psychology of the traders and the markets, right? And there's no such thing as a perfect strategy. It's perfect mindset that you need to have, because you're going to lose, right? Like, I lost one of these one day this week, right? Made the money back the next days and we're all good. So I think it's just a matter of just, you know, for me at least, like, my duties in the company. I know this is going to be good because I'm in charge of it, right? Like, I understand what works and what doesn't from, like, a customer point of view, because I've been a customer for 8 years, right? Like, we can't have this inconvenience because it's going to create this inconvenience. And right, even with the IT guys, when it comes to the trading aspect, it's like, no, we don't want to have a software that does this, because a lot of softwares, it's like the market moves and then they're like,
the software is delayed.
It is. It's a delayed reaction. Like, the market will go up, then it'll be like, buy. And it's like, it already moved. Like, what are you buying? Like, you know,
I'll tell you this, man, what I learned, you know, and I appreciate what you said about, you know, 8 years as a customer, because from what I've seen, and I deal with a lot of people who reach out over the years, help us market ourselves and whatnot. And I usually ask, well, tell me about what you do and how long you've done it for, you know. And again, no disrespect, but I took a dig on social media. One of, like, you know, many people got kind of like little butthurt about it. Right. I said, some of the best quote unquote traders are the best Uber drivers.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of taking a dig at, like, you know, most people who are claiming to make money from trading, especially those who have courses and academies, are actually making money from the subscriptions to their academies and their Telegram channels and whatnot, instead of the actual accounts. I know many traders that I've seen in the last company that we've kind of collaborated on together, that I know they were using demo accounts after the fact. I was like, hey, what's the difference between that, the way that looking at, oh no, that's a demo account. I'm like, so let me get this straight. This guru who claims that he's made hundreds of thousands of dollars every year is using a demo account, not his real account. Right. Okay. Why? Yeah. Because he's probably not profitable. And if he's not profitable, why would he use his own money? So he uses a demo account just to teach people. So there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
And with your permission, we're going to take a quick commercial break.
Okay.
When we come back, I would like for you to educate, you know, I'm not going to say the BS in the profession in as far as training and network marketing, but just help people learn, here is what you want to stay away from.
Yeah.
And then some of the things that you've put in place to protect the experience of the consumer. Yeah. So we'll take a quick minute and we'll be right back.
A world of knowledge is right at your fingertips. Beyond our signature Great Discovery course, we offer a treasure trove of impactful learning courses across a multitude of subjects. Elevate your success with courses crafted by global experts. Accessible in 140-plus countries with real-time translations in most languages. Enjoy an affordable monthly membership. Get unlimited course access and have exclusive discounts. Embrace opportunities. Earn as you learn with our affiliate program. Be part of our vibrant community. Learn, share, teach, or do it all. Unleash your true potential today. It's all about you. Es que no om de ti. Es todo acerca de ti. Todo se cuan y unido. Es tutto su di te. Y no es cuestión que de toi. Welcome to the great discovery.
Welcome back, everybody. Ali Midawi here, your strategic partner, back with the man, the myth, the legend, Abu. And before the break, we were kind of getting into some of the bad things in trading or network marketing. And listen, in anything, in any profession, in any industry, there's good and bad. And our role in here, and why I'm so excited to have a professional to educate and kind of put some bullet points in your book, in order for you to make the proper moves, assuming this is something that you are considering. And again, if you've missed it, we have Abu, who is the head of trading in Anala, a company that focuses on financial education and trading space, foreign exchange, and of course, gives you an income opportunity as well, should you want to take advantage of it. So let's get into some of those myths and facts and red flags. I know one thing that I learned not even 2 years ago, which is demo flexing.
Yeah.
And that's, from what I understand, most of what you see on Instagram, whenever somebody's showing the candlesticks and saying like, oh, look what I made today. Yeah. That's demo flex. So what is demo flexing, and how can you identify if somebody's just demo flexing or they're solid?
So a demo account is a real market, but fake money, right? And a lot of people, especially marketers, they want to flex demo. Now, I think if that's where you're at, where
it's like a practice money.
Yeah, practice money. But if that's where you're at and you want to say, hey, this is what I did, but it's a fake account, I think, yo, that's even better because you're being transparent. Problem comes when people are saying, hey, this is a real account, and they start flexing and acting like they're master traders with fake money. That's an issue. You know, you always want to be transparent. And I think the biggest thing when it comes to finding out the fakes is just have a conversation about trading with people. If people are talking more about the money they've made, the amount of success they're having, 9 times out of 10, it's BS. If a trader is talking about psychology, like, yo, heal yourself from your traumas, heal yourself from your wounds, because when you get in front of the charts, if they're not healed, your emotions going through the roof. It doesn't, you know,
like revenge trading.
Yeah, revenge trading. Like, you lose instantly. You're like, I need to make that money back. I need to make that money back. I'll give you an example.
Oh, I lost $21,000 from revenge trading.
Yeah. No, it's a real thing. I've blown accounts from it. Like last week, I think it was Monday, going through like a twin flame journey. Right, I thought it ended. I was super happy. Picked right back up where it left off, and I'm like, yo, this thing doesn't end. And because of it, I'm like super emotional. I was at the gym, and I go, like, for me personally, I go to the gym 6 a.m. So by the time I'm in front of my laptop, in front of the screen, in front of the charts at like 8:30, like if I have stress, anything, it's been taken out at the gym. Like I'm like completely, like I trade like a robot. But last Monday I couldn't trade. Like it's just, I'm emotional. Right. And I put in a buy. My strategy was, it was a buy, right? There was like a 3 pip drawdown. Immediately my heart just sank, right? Because of the drawdown, the emotions, I'm already feeling everything. And I'm like, fuck, bro, this shit sucks, right? And I knew automatically the market, not the market conditions, the emotional conditions within me were not like, yo, do not trade. Got out of the trades, $20 loss, both accounts. And I fell asleep for an hour, woke up an hour later, market went all the way up. And I'm like, I should have stayed in, because it would have been a like the strategy was correct. It's just my emotions weren't able to handle
which blurred your judgment.
Yeah. But this is what trading is. If you don't heal your traumas, if you don't forgive like Tommy who picked on you in third grade, you're going to be coming.
Something's going to trigger.
Yeah. That's what's going to be happening. You can't do that. So you have to force yourself to heal. You have to force yourself to forgive, to accept, to love, to move on. Right. And it's not an easy process. That shit fucking sucks. Like, it sucks, right? Especially if you're going through a heartbreak, you're going through something like that, having to face it, right? And say like, I did this wrong, or maybe I should have done this, or maybe like, it's not meant to be like trying to figure the stuff like that out, especially through heartbreaks. They're rough. They're real rough. That's what's going to come up when you're trading, right? Like, it doesn't matter if it's a your account, a prop firm, whatever the case is, but that's how you know if it's a real trader. Like, if they're not talking about this type of stuff that really impacts your trading, it's full of shit, most likely, because that's what trading is. Like they say, like 97% of trading is emotion and mindset. I'm willing to say it's 99.99% at this time, because any strategy works as long as your risk is right, as long as your risk management is right. Right. But
let's talk about risk management. Yeah. Many people don't even bother educating on it. Yeah. It's like it's easy to talk about the upside and how everything can be great, especially 99% of the time in network marketing companies that offer trading. They're just talking, imagine if you're making this amount of money. Imagine, but no one is talking about, but keep your risk management in check. And I know for a fact, dude, I lost so much money, you know, because I thought, I'm only going to win. I went about it like lottery, like hit me, you know, like hit me, let me go again, you know? Yeah. So can you, what is the best way to litigate risk management? Is it like a short-term thing? Is it a long-term? Is it an infinite ongoing thing? Like, how do you go about that?
So you need to realize the type of person you are. This is what I tell people. If you're risky, right? Like, I'm the type of individual that like, I don't mind risk, right? But what you don't want to do, like if you put in a buy for gold, right? You don't want to risk 80% of your account, right? Which I've done before. I think a lot of people have done before. Because the thing is, if you're risking 80% of your account, if you lose it, you're losing 80% of your account. That's a big chunk of it.
And most of us were told like, you can make this much money, but we weren't really put the emphasis on you can also lose this much. Yeah. Interesting.
So it depends on your risk, right? Like, I'm still a risky trader. So if like for my strategy, and I don't say this publicly, like to on my live sessions, but because it has an 80 to 85% success rate on my personal account, not my prop firm, but my personal account, I'm willing to risk like 20% per trade. Because I know overall I'm going to be winning 80% of it, right? But if I lose 20%, it's still a 20% hit. But I know like the next 3, 4, 5 days, I'll make that up and then some, right? But again, I'm not risking 40%. I'm not risking 80% of my account, right? I'm not risking the whole account on one trade. It's like, okay, it's 20%. It is a lot. Now, I don't recommend majority of people do it, because if you lose and you can't handle the loss, it's going to hurt. And then you get into revenge trading. Let me get back into the market today. Let me do this. Let me do that.
Guilty.
Yeah. No, I am too, right?
Guilty, Your Honor.
Yeah, I am too. So it's just, that's what it is. You got to know what you're willing to lose before getting in. Now, my prop firms, I'm willing to risk 2% of, like, if I put in 4 trades, for example, or 5 or 6 trades, I'm risking 2% of my account on all those trades.
Talk to us about prop firms, if you don't mind. Like, what are those and when are they recommended or not?
So I recommend them for everyone. In our company, when people come in on my live trading rooms, I'm like, listen, if you guys want to like get a head start, start trading prop firms and start practicing prop firms. So basically what prop firms are, they're companies that will give you $10,000 to $5 million.
Real money.
Yeah, of real money of their own, right, to trade with. But there's rules, right? You can't trade like an egghead.
You have to prove yourself, right?
Yeah. Like when you, the one that I have, I can't even put in like proper, like what I was risking before. I have to risk a little bit less, which took a learning curve. But if you're a real trader and you understand psychology and mindset, that's what I was doing. So what I was used to doing is putting in one big trade, have my like risk and everything like that. And when I'm up 2%, I would close it. They won't even let me put in one big trade. What they're doing is what I'm doing now and how I had to adjust, putting in 6 small trades. So by the time everything goes into profits, I'm making my 2%. I'm making my 3%. I'm even making my 1% and I'm happy with it, right? But these prop firms will basically do a profit split. So it'll be like 50-50, or the one that I'm using, it's called FTUK, something like that. And that profit split is I'm keeping 80%, they're keeping 20%, right? Once you do 10% return on investment, it goes, the one that I have goes up to like $5 million, almost six. So it's like $22,500 to then they'll give you $90,000. After $90,000, they'll give you $180,000. So it continues to go up. And it's a win-win situation because the prop firms are basically making money having professional traders trade for them. The problem is a lot of people don't, you know, they just come in and gamble, and that's what they don't want. So that's why they make the rules so hard in the beginning. But if you have that, again, that mindset and that emotional set on check on lockdown, you'll be able to adjust. It might take you a week or two to figure out the strategy, but once you adjust it, you adjust. So that's what prop firms are. In terms of like when you should get started with them, when you're comfortable trading demo. So if you guys are listening out there, what I tell people is trade demo, learn, and trade your demo account, put the emotions in your demo account like it's a real life account, right? So you can practice the emotions and everything like that, right? And then once you're comfortable, you're consistent enough, get a prop firm account, right? Now, if you still don't trust yourself, get a prop firm account and do the, there's instant funding where you basically pay the prop firm and you get your money right away. That's what I did. But then there's the test where you have to pass two tests, make 10% ROI a month, like two months in a row or something like that. Then they'll give you the real money. So that's when I suggest getting a prop firm account. But yeah, I mean, the best way to kickstart or get a fast start in your trading journey, in my opinion, is a prop firm account. Because if you're just making 10% on a $1,000 account, it's $100. It's going to compound, right? Don't get me wrong. However, if you make 10% on a $100,000 account, right? You just made 8K. That pays off a lot of bills. You could get a car. You could do this. You could do that, right? So in my opinion, that's the best way to go.
So let's dig into Anala. Mm-hmm. What are some of the measures that you've put in place mm-hmm. to A, give people the best possible opportunity right. to be educated? Because right. I'm assuming that's kind of like your priority.
Yeah. Yeah.
B, to be profitable right. as much as possible and right. mitigate that risk that we talked about. But C, to be able to make proper decisions in a responsible way right. for the company and, of course, for right. the end user right. as well.
So for my live trading rooms, and I literally told this to people yesterday, and I'm like, guys, we put in our sales. Now we're just waiting. And that happened within like 10 minutes of the start of our trading session. And then like the rest of the 30 minutes, I'm talking about psychology. I'm talking about mindset. I'm talking about heart set. I'm talking about emotions. So that's something. And even Hassan, who does the 10 a.m. live sessions, he focuses heavily on the psychology. It's like, yeah, you can, you know, there's signals, there's, you know, we can tell you when to buy, we can tell you when to sell, we can tell you all that stuff. However, if you're not prepped for it, right, like you're going to hurt yourself, you're going to lose money. So for us personally, we focus so heavily on the mindset and the heart set and the emotion set of things, because that stuff is trading. And like I can say it over and over again, that stuff, I'm sure you can talk for hours about it. I can talk hours about it, right? When it comes to the strategy, there's only how many times can I teach you the same strategy, right? You like, especially with
the recipe is the same.
Yeah, it's the same.
The thing. Variable is, yeah. You said mindset, yeah. heart set, and emotion set. I yeah. need you to dig into those because I've heard mindset before. Yeah, yeah. I have no idea what heart set is. I can figure out emotion yeah. set. Please elaborate, because these are terms that yeah. are very new.
So heart set for me is, say you get into a fight with your wife, right? She said some things that really dug deep, right? It's not even like emotionally you're hurt, but you're hurting.
You're setting your heart. Me up here. My wife is a perfect woman. No. I have to give the disclaimer. Baby, you are an amazing woman. You never make me mad. Don't say that.
No, no. Okay.
I'm kidding.
No. I know you love your wife. I see your posts every day. And I was like, I'll be honest. I'm like, yo, I'm in a good way jealous. I was like, I want that, right? Like, I want that when I get married. But not, okay, let's not use the missus as an example.
Don't use Ali and the missus.
Yeah. So let's say, say you and your best friend, you guys, right? You guys get into a fight. Like yeah. that's your homie. That's your brother yeah. from another mother, yeah. right? There's something that happened and you
dug deep.
Yeah, it dug deep. It yeah. wasn't even just emotion, but it like opened your heart and it was like a wound. Like, damn, bro. Like
that's a heart set. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. Okay. And it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, you guys are still buddies. You guys are still homies. You guys have done everything for each other to make sure you guys are successful. But there's still a matter of, I got to forgive him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's like he stung me with a needle, not a knife. So he didn't really rip me, but it's still there. I can feel it and think about it.
Yeah. Like your spirit, your soul is hurt, right? Like deep down, your soul is hurt.
And I forgive you, Rich.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? Like, and sometimes that's hard to do, especially when you're in front of the charts, because your ego is going to be like, how dare he say that?
Yeah.
Right. Like how dare he, you know, like who does he think he is? Right now that thought comes up. Now your heart's creating emotions. And now you're just like go, go, go mode while trading when you're supposed to trade like a robot. Right now, instantly market goes down a little. You start putting in more buys when there's no need to put in more buys. Facts. You're risking more. You're risking more.
I get it.
Now it just messes you up. Right. And if it's a losing trade, especially now, you're even more pissed.
And then the emotion set
is
the like, are you in a revenge trade or are you in a calm collected or are you like in messed up? Large? Okay. Yeah. I got you.
Because if you lose that trade, are you going to get into more buys then? Then it's like,
which is what 99% of the uneducated were like, I got to make my money back before 10 o'clock.
Yeah. And the thing is, if I lose a trade today and I start approaching the market tomorrow, what does yesterday's trades have anything to do with today?
Yeah.
Right. That's done. That's gone. I lost. Cool. All good. I need to focus on today's trades. I can't approach the market with like, okay, I got to make that money back. I need to approach the market with, I need to make 2% ROI today. I need to make 1% ROI today. I need to make my goals for today, right? It's not about yesterday. Yesterday's done and gone. Fuck yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Learn from it and move on. But again, this is trading, right? Like this is the stuff that we make sure we talk about. And same thing with psychology. Hassan is so big on psychology as well. So these are the measurements that we take, especially on our live trading sessions when it comes to trading, right? Like we talk more about this stuff that matters than the skill set, because the skill set's easy. We go over the skill set every day. The videos are there for the skill sets, right? There's only so much we can talk and show you guys, like, and we can continue showing you guys the skill set, but the heart set, the emotion set, the spirit, the soul to enlighten yourself, that is what trading really is. If you can focus on that, you will be a long-term trader. And a lot of, and it's hard for a lot of people, right? It was even hard for me to just sit there and be like, man, I got to forgive this person. Like this person really like fucked me up for 2 years, or this person, network marketing wise, like knew I had to retire my dad.
Let me challenge you on that.
Yeah.
So were you able, cause there were some people that me and you mutually know that really did you dirty.
Yeah.
Were you able, whether directly or indirectly, but at least in your heart, as in the heart set, to say, I forgive that person genuinely, or is it a work in progress for you?
I think, like, I've made the intention, like, yo, I forgive you, right? However, some days are better than others, because it cuts deep, because a lot of these people who did all this, like, you look up to them, you know what I mean? You look up to them, they're like, brother, you were my brother, like, I would have, like, taken a bullet for you to do that to me, right? And, like, I'm like, you know me, I'm super chill, right? And it's like, if you wanted to come over and take a look at your company, like you launch a company, or I'm like, bro, like, I don't care if I'm an owner, like you're Ali, like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'm going to take a look, right? But it's like, hey, it's not a work in progress, but this is where we're at. It's like, all right, cool. Like, let me still make my money and do my thing. But as soon as it's ready to go, I'm all in, right? But just to like have experiences like that, it's like, it stinks sometimes, right? It takes a toll on you, because it's like, damn. And then it hurts your trust in the industry and everything like that, you know? And then like, so it's an everyday thing, like with anything, right? Some days, like if there was a fight between you two, some days it's easier, some days it's harder. But then once you get over it, you get over it. But
usually a cup of coffee fixes the both of us.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so like for me, I think where I'm at with Anala, all that pain, all that like driving, going crazy, all the long nights and, you know, tears and all that stuff, I think that is what's like, cool, I'm gonna get mine. You know what I mean? I'm gonna get mine. Like God's got me. And it, again, everything.
So you put the best foot forward and you're working on kind of the completion of that emotion to kind of, which I appreciate. Most people would BS their way through that answer. And, you know, I appreciate you're human.
Of course.
So it's a work in progress. We got a break coming up, but before we do, what's your take on, or you familiar with smart contracts?
Somewhat.
What's your take on bots that are out there? Because it seems like every single day there is a message that I'm getting from somebody. You don't have to sell. You don't have to recruit. Auto pay. You make 8% guaranteed. You're not like, I mean, is it all hype? Is there some legitimacy to those opportunities? I understand in the United States, you cannot have bots. Like, can you please for once and for all, help us make the record straight. Hey, if you get that text, evaluate it or stay away from it.
There's a 0% chance you're winning a trade every single day. A 0% chance. You could have a 95% win ratio. You could have an 85% win ratio, but there's a 0% chance that you are winning a trade every day. Even with my strategy, and I love how simple my strategy is, sometimes the market goes like, I'm like sell, but the market goes a little bit higher than I expected and it'll take me out, but it'll still go down, right? Then I have to put in my buy or my sells again or whatever the case is, right? So that happens, but like from everything that I've seen, none of these companies have lasted more than like 3 years. And the ones that have lasted longer than three years, all the owners, they're in jail, right? Or they're running away from the law.
That's so true. Yeah. I've been in depositions that I've been called for, like, to testify for against companies.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Because it's not supposed to be known. Yeah, no, it's true. And well, listen, remember, I sat in boards and I was part of management teams,
right,
where an offer of a company was traded and so on and so forth, okay, or individuals,
right,
you know, that I've consulted for.
Right,
and
right.
Like, hey, we need to just to, you know, what was the nature of your relationship? Right. Here's what we're investigating. What can you tell us? And we just need a statement from you. And I had given a couple of statements.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, listen, for those of you who think you can do some shady stuff, and I'm telling you, for those of you who know that you're doing shady stuff, but you're getting away with it because you're a great marketer, your days are counted. Market and count on it right here. You saw in my face because I warned you, forewarned you, and I told you in your face, in your Zoom, in your phone call, hey, you really need to work on this because this is a red flag. And you said, no, we're okay. We're registered out of this country and not this country. Or you said, no, we're under the CFTC law. We're covered. Oh no, we don't have to register in any other country. I warned you. And if I ever left the company, Abu, there's a reason that I left the company. I'm not an idiot that I'm just going to leave a company that's about to do $100 million a year.
Right, right, right.
I left because I warned, hey, fast money is dangerous money.
Yeah.
I'm all about slow, steady, long-term money.
Mm-hmm.
I am too pretty for jail.
Yeah, no one wants to go to jail.
I'm just saying, no, I'm too pretty. Like, could you imagine this pretty face in jail? I do not hold anybody's pocket. So I'm going to stay where I'm at. And I exit intentionally. If I ever left a company, it was a reason.
Right.
And I have never just walked away. I've always warned and warned and warned in the best of my ability. I am part of legal committees that I'm always educated on certain things and elements. And that's relevant. That's extremely important. I have people like Bob Reyna, the watchdog of network marketing and financial market, in my corner.
Oh, wow.
This gentleman is a billionaire who understands this space. And he will say in 2 seconds, that's going to go down in 3 years. And in 99% of the time, it ends up going down in 3 years.
Holy cow.
So I say that to say that, you know, I get a lot of offers of opportunities every single day. And I get a lot of consulting gigs every single day. Many times I'll get in and I'll get out and I'll say, hey, I don't think this is going to work. And many people will get offended or they're like, you don't know what you're talking about. Listen, there are a couple of companies that you and I are familiar with. They're either out, shut down. IX Global just got hit as a $43 million scam.
Oh, really?
Driven that got bought by IX Global and got eaten alive.
Oh, wow.
IML got hit by $200 million from the FTC and they were told, hey, we're going to come after you as much as possible.
Right.
IML is going through another branding change and many other companies. There's one company right now that is making the highest noise, and I'll say it out loud. It's called EA Economy. I was the VP of sales of that company. And I hope that they are putting a lot of things and places in measure to make sure that the company is solid and protected. Mm-hmm. And I'm not taking a dig. I'm not saying you should be careful or scared. Do you? God bless you. I think you're doing great. Your marketing is impeccable. But just make sure you put things in place to protect the end user and to, of course, protect the company itself. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how good of a marketer you and I are.
Right, right.
What's happening under the engine?
Yeah, no, that's true. The infrastructure
that
is key. Yeah,
is usually, you know, you don't see an engine of a Bentley. You don't see an engine of, you know, like my best friend showed me a BMW that he was driving and was rocking. Then we opened the hood and then all the way in the little tiny corner it says made in Mexico. I'm like, I thought BMWs are German. The engine was made in Mexico, bro.
Wow.
So in a Honda factory, nonetheless. So what I'm saying is, I am a huge advocate of innovation and disruption and creating something great. But I'm at the same exact time a huge ambassador of do it right or don't do it
at all.
And I'm sure you share that with me.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. After we do come back, I can promise you I'm about to dig on some personal things with Abu. Things that may be about his views about life, core values, personal, and so much more. We'll be right back. Introducing our exclusive PR services for businesses, a chance to supercharge your visibility and credibility in the market. In a crowded marketplace, it is essential for businesses to stand out from the competition. Ali Madawi here and Madawi Enterprise. We understand the power of effective PR and the ability to elevate your brand visibility and credibility. See, we can help you navigate all of those complex PR landscapes, and the results will be strong, credible, and in 200 plus media outlets like NBC, CBS, Fox, and all of their subsidiaries. Our team of experienced PR professionals will work with you to craft compelling stories and connect you with influential media outlets, guaranteed. Now, don't miss this opportunity to amplify your brand's reach and establish yourself as a trusted industry leader. Visit our website today at winwithali.com and let's get you started today. Madawi Enterprise and your strategic partner for an unparalleled visibility and wavering credibility.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Ali Madawi here at ME Show and your strategic partner. We are with the man amid the legend Abu on a very, very heavy duty interview. And man, we've covered so far all things about trading, all things about the psychology of trading, all things that Anala's put in place to protect. And he himself, as he plays the role of head of trading, I'm really, really excited. And congratulations again on,
you know,
putting something great that is for the masses. And I genuinely believe in this man specifically. You know, they're in pre-launch phase about to launch, but he, the man, is the kind of person he will tell you what he says and he will says what he's thinking. And you don't shy away from speaking out on your core values on social media. You don't hold back. And that's something that is, I believe, relevant, whether the world agrees with you or not.
Right.
So let's talk about a few different things. Tell me a little bit about your upcoming. Were you born here or you're born in Pakistan?
So I was born in Pakistan. I came here when I was four with my mom and my two sisters. My dad was, I think, in the US like 15 years before that. And you know, shout out to my dad. Like, I got my work ethic and my heart ethic, I would say, from him. Like, he was a taxi driver while growing up, or you know, while I was growing up. So like, there would be days I wouldn't see him because he would come home at 3 a.m. and then be out the house by like 12 p.m. So, yeah, I mean, I got my work after seeing that and him not like just giving up in life. I'm like, I gotta work like that. Like, you know, I got to work like that. If he doesn't give up, like, how can I, like, who am I to give up? Right.
So walk me through, cause you and I, you know, so we are alike, but I have a similar yet a little bit of a different path. You know, I grew up in a very mixed family where, you know, parents, one is Catholic and one is Muslim. I grew up in different parts of the world. You know, in my family, we have, Muslims, we have Orthodox Greeks, we have Catholics, we have one atheist. So I have like this mix of mental growth where I'm like, I love you, but I don't understand you, and I'm going to try to coexist with you.
Right, right.
You've had a pretty foundational Muslim upcoming in terms of you understood what God is to you as far as
not really
found it. Well, so tell me a little bit more about that.
My parents are like very spiritual, like, and I didn't understand anything. I wasn't even interested in spirituality until like 4 years ago. Right.
I think so. And I'm telling you some context while I'm getting into this. You are Hajj, right? You've gone to the pilgrimage.
I haven't done Hajj. I've done Umrah.
You've done Umrah, right.
Yeah. The mini Hajj.
So, and that's a recent journey that all of this, right?
Yeah.
So, growing up in the United States in a Western, I'm just going to call it for what it is, definitely not a spiritually healthy environment as a whole, especially where we are in 2024. Yeah, yeah.
as a kid, you don't know what is normal and what is not unless it's established in a foundational piece at home. I didn't have that.
Okay.
So talk to us about your upcoming from a spiritual side of things and how it made you who you are today, from faith to a person.
Right. So I wasn't really religious growing up, didn't have any concept of spirituality. After high school, I started smoking weed, and that was when my parents found out, they're like, "Yo, my God, what's going on with our son? Like, he's talking back and everything." Especially when I started making money in network marketing, I'm traveling, I'm flying girls out, tattoos, right? Like, I'm living like a rap video type lifestyle, because that's what I thought life was, right? Because, you know, the programming and everything like that.
You're part of the environment.
Yeah. So I was like, for me, I was like, oh, this is awesome, right? But it just wasn't like, I just really wasn't necessarily fulfilled. And then I had a near-death moment, I think like 2016. And that's when I was like, whatever I saw or experienced during that like thing, I was like, okay, there's spirituality. Like, I thought I understood spirituality, but I'm like, clearly I don't know shit. And I was like, okay, if there's evil out there, there has to be good.
Good,
like,
right.
There's no way you could have this and that. And that's when like, I was like, okay, started to make the journey to trying to become sober. And so I became sober for like 2 months, and that was just from like the PTSD of all the drugs, right? And like those experiences that I had. And then we had another event, a company event in like Vegas, and I started smoking again, but it just wasn't fun, right? It just wasn't fun. Like, my heart hurt. I was paranoid. And you know what they say? I was just blowing everyone else's vibe, right? And I was just like, oh, this is, and then they had to deal with me, and I had to deal with them. And, you know, it was just like a crazy, like, weird thing. And then I was still smoking, but I was smoking by myself, because I'm like, I can't handle smoking with other people. Like, it's just not fun for me. It's not fun for them. It sucks, right? But I was addicted to like the numb feeling and like trying to escape reality and like trying to escape my demons, quote unquote. And then Ramadan came, right? And mind you, I never prayed 5 times a day. I didn't even know how to pray then. And I was fasting, but I wasn't praying. And then one day I was like, you know what, what's the worst that can happen, that I pray 5 times a day? What's the worst that's going to happen, right? And I didn't even know how to pray. I started praying. And since that day, I haven't stopped praying 5 times a day. Like, I know how to pray correctly now. And I became a lot more religious from like the physical sense, but now it's becoming an aspect of like cleaning the heart, cleansing the heart, like the heart set and things like that. You know, and that journey in itself hasn't been easy, especially over the last 2 years, once you actually understand all of this stuff. And then another realization I had over the last 2 weeks is, the more conscious and aware you become, the more sensitive to energy you become, right? So it's like, if someone's thinking about me, I'll feel it right away, right? And if someone's hurting thinking about me, I'll feel it right away. And I'm like, I was telling you, going through that twin flame journey, I'm like, I feel it all day. And I'm like, yo, this shit doesn't stop, right? So that's how I am. And that's kind of like a little bit of the story that I got here, where before I wouldn't call myself an atheist, but I would say Assalamu alaikum, just because I was like, oh, it's the cool thing to do.
Right? It was a cultural more than it was a spiritual thing. And I think a little bit of context, there's a difference also between being religious and spiritual, right?
The
religion, it's more of something that is social, economic, rule of law, which is important nonetheless, right? To kind of understand where's the edge, right? If we didn't have a law that says stop at the red light, most people will end up in crashes, right? That's the concept of that. But spirituality, I believe, is more of a connection to that divine divinity that you believe in, and you're more willing to walk in with a pure heart and with faith than it is just like, okay, that's because I have to.
You know what I mean?
Most of the time it's like, well, I have to pray. I have to fast rather than I get to pray. I get to fast. I get to pure and cleanse my heart, myself, and my mind. And that's amazing. In terms of, you know, I'm insisting on this because you've had more of a foundational connection. Both of your parents have the same faith.
Right.
Both of your parents have the same foundation. I never had that. So there was always a cross path for me where, you know, like, it's okay to go there. You don't have to do this, but if you want, you're more than welcome. It was never like, hey, this is what you got to do. And I had to kind of learn it on my own. In your own terms, how do you see your faith and your spirituality as a guiding point for you in society, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, I know that there's a lot of evil in the world.
Right.
And evil could be identified different by different people. Yes. You know, I mean, I talked to some people. I did a video where I talked about, I was ranting a little bit on TikTok. My son's school had vending machines. My son is 6 years old.
Okay.
We're talking about first grade.
Okay.
Vending machines that were all LGBTQ books.
Okay.
Where kids can go and right. put a quarter and get a book about LGBTQ.
Right.
My video was not against LGBT community. It's, right. it's between you, your God, and your
right.
body, right?
Right, right.
All I said in that video, hetero or LGBTQ, right. I don't think a child should be exposed yeah. to a sexual conversation. Yes. That's all I said.
Yes.
And when I say the world, it's as if I said, hey, I'm the devil.
Yeah.
Everybody got mad at me. Mm-hmm. Why are you picking on LGBTQ? There's a lot of suicide in that community and all that stuff. And I did a little bit of research right. and while, yes, there is high suicide rates, as a matter of fact, there's about 12% of LGBT community that commit suicide, which mm-hmm. is very sad. One life is too many, right? Mm-hmm. But in the overall society in the United States, mm-hmm. there's 42%
right.
that attempt suicide last year.
Right.
That's almost half of the country that at some point in capacity attempted right. suicide. Now, why aren't we talking about that right now? I'm not trying to compare. Why aren't we talking?
Right,
all
right.
I'm saying is I believe based on my upcoming, a child should not be exposed to none of the above. And that's something that I've come to build the courage to talk mm-hmm. about after I've become a parent.
Right.
Before I'm like, well, maybe I should be careful. Right, I have
right,
a business.
Right.
I have a brand.
Right, right.
How do you go about operating with the faith side of you
right.
and the social side of you and saying, I'm not going to compromise my right. my core values?
Right.
It's a deep question, it but
is,
I hope.
It is. So I'll start off by saying this. There's the story in the Quran. Where God talks about this, right? And basically it was a very corrupt society to the point where like rape was okay, pedophilia was okay. And like raping and pedophilia was like in this certain society, it was okay, right? So God sent a prophet to tell people like, don't do this, right? And the people in that society, they basically, they wanted to rape like the prophets, right? And the guy, and the prophet was basically saying, take my daughters, marry them, right? Go ahead. And they were like, no, like we want you. And then God sent angels in the form of men, right, to like help him and like guide him. And basically, the people of that society wanted to then rape the angels, right? So long story short, God basically told the prophet, get out of here. I'm going to destroy this entire town, right, or this entire place. And it was done by angel Jibreel or Gabriel, right? Mm-hmm. Like God's like main angel, from the Islamic point of view. And the angel went down and saw, and he said, God, there's one very religious man here. He's very religious and he's very spiritual. All he does day and night is worship you, right? And God says, start the punishment with him, because how can you worship me and not stand up against evil, right? So from me personally understanding that, like you said, whatever you believe in, that's up to you. That's between you.
It's your prerogative.
Yeah. That's a relationship between you and God. However, leave the kids out of it. Like a 5-year-old doesn't need to know he can, you know, get surgery and take puberty blockers. What do they call it, man?
Mutilation.
Whatever. Mutilation. Yeah. That's what.
Or again, for the record, for those of you who are going to be clickbaiting this thing.
Yeah.
Heterosexual or else, we don't believe in any religion, form, or faith that a child
yeah.
should be talked to about anything sexual or yeah. changing any body part. Yeah. I think there should be common sense.
Yeah. No, it is. No, it just should be. And I think it's also like not even just like about the LGBTQ, right? Not even like that, but like even normal sex, right? Like a child, you don't need to talk to like a child about sex in general. Like my nephew, all he cares about is like harassing his cat, right? Like fighting with his cat. Cause my nephew just,
dude, we used to grow up, and if there was a kiss in a movie, we will turn our faces and we'll like, did my father just see me?
Yeah. That's what it is, right?
Like now is like, go to TikTok for 3 seconds and you're like, not interested. Yeah. Why are these kids dancing and dressed up and putting makeup?
It's not to get too deep into the rabbit hole, but
yeah, I feel like I'm going there.
I really do believe like whether you look at the Bible, the Torah, you look at the Quran, it's like every single time a society becomes so obsessed with sex and like gender, it's like just understand we're 99% of the way there from a reset. Like
I agree. And even let me even take it deeper. Napoleon Hill, let's take out religion out of it for a second. For those of you who are like, well, law of attraction, energy. Napoleon Hill talked about it in Think and Grow Rich. Sex energy is the most powerful energy from a physiological bodily energy.
Yep.
And that's why he said, make sure that you hold back on that. Make sure that you're not going bonkers yep. on that. Like, just slow your roll. And some who have managed that in the most educated and elevated and grown way possible, Napoleon Hill and many others, they've done really, really well. So just understand, we are not advocating in here for any agenda, or I believe that you are to speak for whatever your core values are. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that I'm bringing this as an example to, as a head of a division of a company now,
yeah,
how are you? Because I can speak, and please say it for yourself. You're welcoming everybody from every yeah. creed, religion, background. It's not like, you know, if you yeah. don't believe this, but at the same exact time, you're not going to hold back on the very basics, as I'm not holding back. I want my son to have the best natural human growing up possible
yep.
without him coming to my house. You know, dude, in his pre-K, there was a gentleman dressed up as a woman.
Right.
That's who would hold his hand and walk him into the class. Now, when I said something, I was that guy in his pre-K.
I would.
So, but the issue that I had, it wasn't that, you know, let's, you know, I'll give the respect that woman that identifies as a woman. My son would come home and say, Papa, so should I, you know, put earrings? And is it normal for boys to wear dresses? And then you're putting me in a very uncomfortable yeah. situation. So I'm not pushing my heterosexual life on anybody. I just think that nobody should push that on my son.
Yeah, no,
so
that's what it is.
It's context. But so let me go back to the question. I feel like I used you to get yeah. that across.
Yeah, that's all good.
How are you managing to sustain your core values, whether they're faith or social views, and operate and work with everybody? How do you do that?
I mean, I don't care what people believe in, right? Like, we're not the same religion,
right?
Right. It's irrelevant. Not like your religion is irrelevant or my religion is irrelevant.
It's irrelevant in the subject matter that we're working together on.
Yeah. It's right. Like, bro, you want to make money. You want to escape the matrix. You want to like better your life. You want to grow, because that's what trading is. You want to be a successful trader. You have to force yourself to grow. You want to become the best version of yourself. Yeah, let's do it. But don't tell me to paint my beard like rainbow color. Yeah, so it's just like, I don't care what people do, but don't tell me to paint my beard rainbow, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if that's what you believe in, that's what you love, who you love. That's between you and your God, right? Like in Islam, at least, it says that there will be sinners who will be allowed into heaven because they feared God, right? Whatever the challenges people have and, you know, these things, they're tests from God. This entire world, from an Islamic point of view, is a test, right? It's not, I know there's luxury, you know, we live better today than kings lived thousands of years ago. The average individual, even someone who lives in poverty, is living better than kings and queens thousands of years ago. So it's just like, it's irrelevant, right? Like, it's irrelevant to me, like what people believe in, right? But you don't need to force it on me, because if you force it on me, I have to push back. You know what I mean? If you're going to force things on my nephew, I'm going to have to push back, because they can't fight for themselves. Mm-hmm. They don't know right from wrong. So it's like, and that's just my view on the whole thing. Like, you love who you love. You do whatever you want to do with your body. You don't need to force me to do it, right? As like, I don't force you to believe in my religion. Like, we can talk about it. You want to educate me, that's fine, right? For me, like, if you want to know about Islam, I'll teach you, right? If you want to know about trading, it's fine. But like, I'm not going to.
You want to know about cooking? We got you too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, but like, I think when you start forcing and start making things laws, that's an issue.
Yeah.
I think that's an issue, because it's like, laws don't determine what is morally correct. Slavery was legal, right? And no one's going to sit there and say, you know, that was the best thing. Like, no, because it's not, right? So just because something is legal or this doesn't mean anything, but you can't force things. And I think that's where I stand, right?
Yeah.
Like, personally speaking, I want to move out of the US. Like, this is like, being in a really weird place. It's like, it's really weird, right? Like, the whole like freedom mindset, it's like, it's going down the hill little by little. So for me, it's like, makes me uncomfortable. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I've had this conversation with my mom and my sisters and even my brother-in-law. My one brother-in-law is like, yeah, I want to get out of here as well. Cause it's like, it's only going to get worse, right? Like the laws are going to get stricter. I think, man, this is a deep topic. I know there's people in California that are pushing for pedophilia, right? They're saying love is love. Like love has no age.
No, there are states that already passed laws where it's no longer, if somebody, you know, is unregistered, right. It's not registered as a pedophile, right. But it's an alternative choice. That's what it's called.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, no, bro, like stop calling it an alternative choice. You're trying to make him look good. Like, no, I'm not going to say a murderer as, you know, an exterminator of life.
Yeah.
Like, no, bro, you're a murderer.
Yeah. No, that's what I mean. It's this place is becoming really weird. Really weird.
So where do we go from here? I mean, where is the positive, hopeful Abu who's like, I have faith that we're going to turn this thing around? Or is that
it's
gone?
It's gone. Where we're at today, the reset needs to happen. And it's going to happen.
So how?
From
your perspective, what do we have to do to get that back or reset?
So for like the average person, right? Like this is from an Islamic point of view, right? And throughout ever, God's always punished people either through themselves or through like natural disasters. So it's like, from my understanding, it'll be a little bit of both. The answers, I don't have it because it's not our business.
That's a complex answer too. I mean, you're not going to figure it out in 3 seconds an interview.
Yeah. And so I don't know, but from my understanding, from reading the Quran and looking and understanding hadiths, it's going to happen sooner or later, whether it's like nuclear war with like, you know, natural disasters and this and that and the third. So,
all right, let me give you a follow up. Then get out of the US and go where? Where's your choice?
Personally speaking, I'd love to say Saudi Arabia. I'd love to, but like the Saudi Arabia isn't the best country in the world right now either. Like
in what sense?
Just like all the war that's going on over there. It's just like they're taking care of their own countries, but like they're not taking care of their own people. And for me, it's like, you know, it's in my opinion, it's like the government at least.
Are you talking from like a humanitarian right?
Yeah. Okay. Like, you know, like there's like countries right next to them that are basically dying of no food and poverty.
While you have the biggest resources accounts in the world.
And not even that, you're bombing that country at the same time. Yeah. It's like, no, your leadership is trash. Like what you are, you're walking trash. So like for me, it's like no matter where you there's this hadith that my spiritual guide told me. And he said that the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said something along the lines of like, there's going to be a 100-year period, right? And we're at the end of that 100-year period, where the entire leadership of the world is going to be ran by tyrants from top to bottom. And we're nearing the end. And Prophet, peace be upon him, said something along the lines of like, soon after that, the world is going to like start getting back to normal. And then the Antichrist is going to come, right? And in Islam, he's called Dajjal. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're at. We're at the end of the 100-year period, right? Like very end. It might be like 103-year period, 105-year period.
So educate and enlighten. Then what would happen after that? Back to normalcy in terms of quality of moral values, or it's the apocalypse and the world explodes?
The apocalypse and the world explodes might happen like 100 years after the Antichrist gets killed or goes.
That's at least what the scholars are saying.
So around that, but like it'll be basically once the Antichrist is going to come, there might be like 1,000 to 10,000 people left in this entire world.
So what should I tell my son? Or should you tell mom that's saying get married and have kids? Are you planning on getting married and have kids?
I don't know about kids, right? I'd love to.
That's the $1 million question everybody's going to ask. I want to believe and see.
Yeah.
So as a parent,
right,
that terrifies the crap out of me.
So from my understanding, like if I'm in your shoes, right, and not to push religion or anything like that, it's either you guide him to God or the world or society is going to guide him to whatever the fuck that other shit is, right? Whether you believe in the devil or not. Yeah. It's either you guide him and make him like hold on tightly, like understand like this is all that you got. When I'm gone, you need to understand the only one there for you is God. Like it's not me. Like I know you love me and you look up to me, but I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for God, right? Like I'm nothing without him, right? So like, and this is what I tell my nephews. It's like, yo, listen, like I don't get deep into like, I can have this conversation with my nieces, my oldest niece, but not my nephews. They're 5 and 6. They don't understand like death and things like that. But it's like, yo, you need to hold on to God. You need to start praying. You need to start worshiping, because you need to understand when you go out there in the world, the enemies of God, right, are against you, right? They are against you. Perfect example, Tim Tebow had such a big influence in the NFL. Right. He had such a big influence, but they wouldn't let him talk about God. They wouldn't let him talk about Jesus. So it's not necessarily, it doesn't come down to a religion. It comes down to God and source and light. And
No. I get it. Yeah. Even in the music industry, what's his name? Kanye West.
Yeah.
He exposed a lot of that.
Yeah.
He's like, when he released Jesus Walks, the College Dropout, no one, like even Rockefeller Federer, they did not want to put money behind it.
Of course.
And he put his own money on it.
Yep.
And then it became this big phenomenon of an album. Then he created his own label that is sub off Rockefeller and so on and so forth. Eminem said that his contract stated on it, never talk about God, Jesus, faith, spiritual, anything else. So you're automatically pushed into, if you fall deeper into this avatar, we'll fund you. I mean, look at the Nicki Minaj of the worlds and the like all the songs. I mean, there are songs that, you know, ooh, I'm the devil, like I'm sitting in the car, Doja Cat, right? But Painting the Town Red, that's the name of the song. And I'm like, what are we listening to?
Yeah, no, that's what it is. But it's
not even hidden anymore.
Yeah, no, it's not. But it's all the drugs in the food. It's the drugs in the water. It's people's brains are mush.
So there is real evil. It's not like me and you being, conspiracy theorists. It's in front of you. And
of course,
you know, you dare to talk against it, you will be painted as a foil head, or you'll be painted as an evil person. And the reason I appreciate you having and giving me the opportunity to have this conversation openly is there's also a lot of stereotype.
Of course.
You know, I was in a group text and we're doing good on time. You're about to cut me off. Rich is like, you're doing another episode. No, here's I'll say this. You know, I'm in a group text, you know, with brother-in-law and other people. And then there's, you know, like GIFs that come up every now and then. Right. And when you think terrorists, usually is the picture that gets sent out to us.
People like me, I would say
long beard, right? Like, you know, the turban and all that stuff. And so usually I'm the sarcastic one in the group. You know, I will go and look for a rabbi picture and I post it after it. And then I would look for like a, you know, an Asian, like, you know, guru. And I'm like, what do you think is the common denominator between all of them? They are all looking the same, an Orthodox Christian, but unfortunately there's this evil thing that evil needs a face.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, when you think of spirituality, you know, there's always like, you know, the respectfully, like the white old guy in the sky that you know, like, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to have this conversation openly, because the world needs to know, not every person that is Muslim with a beard automatically wants you to be obliterated.
Of course.
You know, not everybody that is Christian wants the Muslim person to be obliterated. Not everybody that's black hates white. Not like, we got good going on in the world, and I think there is more good in the world. And unless we have these open conversations and document them, you know, we're just sitting back and allowing the songs of the world and the music and the Hollywood and all that crap to really subconsciously program our kids. The Catholic Church says, give me a child until he's 7 years old and he will become the Pope, because they understand from birth until 7 year old is the programming of a child.
Right.
So I believe our children are our future. And one day you will have a child and you will know, you know, Mama, I'm trying to work for you, Mom. And I know you want him to get married already. So I genuinely believe that we have to have these conversations as uncomfortable as they are in a positive manner.
Of course.
In a positive manner. Do you know how uncomfortable it is for me to sit on a table with my family?
I'm sure.
When I say in a table, it's like the United Nations. There's Buddhist, Orthodox, Muslim, Catholic, different denomination of Christians that will fight amongst themselves. Mm-hmm. And then that's literally what a regular day holiday for us, which the good of it is everybody gets along and respects everybody. But sometimes it gets very uncomfortable.
I'm sure.
So, you know, I take my family as the world, if we don't sit together and look at each other and love each other and identify what is the good and be educated by what you believe as is good, that may impact me a little bit on a step closer, because sometimes we may be blind without knowing it. Yeah. You know, even Christianity states that, you know, most are walking blind. Doesn't mean that they are actually blind, but they're just not seeing the truth. So let's close it with this. If I were to say, I want to join Anala right now, and I don't know if I should or shouldn't, look into that camera and tell me why I should join you today.
Why shouldn't you?
Flipped it.
No, not even like that. Not even like that. I mean, at the end of the day, inflation is high. At the end of the day, when it comes to business, network marketing, you want to be at the top of the tree, right? Second thing is, we have people who have been there. They've done it in terms of the network marketing part. And inshallah, we'll have conversation about working together. I definitely would love to at least, you know, have that conversation with you guys or Joel, and, you know, connect you guys somehow, some way.
The ME operations are an extension ready for you guys whenever you're ready.
So it just comes down to consistent trading, mindset, heart set. And most importantly, setting people up for long-term success in the trading and network marketing field. And I think that right there is important. The value comes from the mentorship, not the skill set. You can go on Google, you can go on YouTube, you can find any free strategy that works. However, the mindset, the heart set, the spiritual set, the emotion set, that is what's going to set you apart from long-term success and just blowing consistent accounts, right? So the mentorship, in my opinion, there's levels to this. And in my humble opinion, we have some of the top tier mentorship in the trading aspect.
So we can sign up today if we wanted to, right? If anybody's listening, Anala, that's INALAI.com or .io, right?
Yeah. So right now, up until the 22nd, it is $50 and $50 a month. And when we raise the prices, you won't have to pay a penny more. It's going to stay at $50.
So your grandfather and anybody is coming at early stage. Okay.
And then, for anyone watching, you guys want to get a hold of me, my Instagram is AbuQOfficial, AbuQOfficial.
And just check out the description. We'll have all the information about Abu, the individuals that he's mentioned as his partners as well, their Instagram or anything that relevant you'll provide for us, and we'll make sure. So just check out the caption, the description in any platform that you are A, listening or B, watching. Make sure you drop a comment or whatever is relevant for you. Any question that you have, drop it, or just go directly to his Instagram and ask directly. I don't just have anybody on the show. I have people that I believe in as human beings, that I believe in their core values. And this gentleman, I didn't meet yesterday. I've known him for 8+ years. And, you know, it's been a journey to finally have him in here in the studio and do what we've done today. So with that, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Hey, hit that share. If there is anything that you need as an entrepreneur, I personally focus on scale-ups. I don't do startups anymore. But I will tell you this, we can definitely connect you with one of our trainers, speakers, or any area of business development that you need, whether it's sales training, whether you need a PR campaign, whether you need to use our studios as well, where we are in One Main Street in Eatontown, New Jersey. Make sure you hit us up, winwithali.com. Hit up your boy with any questions that you may have, and I'm here to serve. Until next time, Abu, tell them peace out, everybody.
Peace out.
Peace. God bless.
A world of knowledge is right at your fingertips. Beyond our signature Great Discovery course, we offer a treasure trove of impactful learning courses across a multitude of subjects. Elevate your success with courses crafted by global experts. Accessible in 140+ countries with real-time translations in most languages. Enjoy an affordable monthly membership. Get unlimited course access and have exclusive discounts. Embrace opportunities. Earn as you learn with our affiliate program. Be part of our vibrant community. Learn, share, teach, or do it all. Unleash your true potential today. It's all about you. Es que no hombre. Es todo acerca de ti. Todo se puede unir. Es tutto su vida. Y es cuestión de toi. Welcome to the Great Discovery.